Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is April 25th, 2019. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin in the world and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. I ask you to text that number first because otherwise I might not answer. I get like 14 to 20 bogus calls a day. So send me a text first and then we'll talk. You can find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all on our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally. It's live on YouTube. It's on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base worldwide. Places like Sydney, Australia, Adamanin, I guess it's how it's pronounced, Saudi Arabia, Casablanca, Morocco. I always think of Humphrey Bogart when I say that town. Anyway, Vilnius, Lithuania, first time for them that I've noticed. And, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Los Angeles, California, Nashville, Tennessee, Cleveland, Ohio, and Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. These are just to name a few. Of course, Wichita, you still are the largest group of listeners, at least to the podcast portion of our program. Anyway, follow us and share us at Twitter at Pastor Dan Catlin at Brent77. Now a prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, there's so much evil out there. I just pray that you give us the power and the words to expose some of that evil tonight. Just help us, Father. We give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we haven't had him on recently. But anyway, so tonight's guest is Pastor Carl Gallups. We're going to ask him, it seems to me he's had an end-time vision that he hasn't told me about, and so we're going to ask him about that. Pastor Carl is a best-selling author. He's a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's heard nationally, internationally. He's on TV. He's a radio guest commentator. In fact, every time I turn around, he's out in a seminar. He's gone running around. You know, I just wonder if the congregation, if they ever get this guy at home. Anyway, he's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He's a founder of P.P. Simmons News Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at a university in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 6 books now. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, and Gods of Ground Zero, and the latest long-awaited sequel to The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, which is The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah. And I'm telling you, folks, this book, latest one, really lines up. If you're keeping progress with what's going on in Israel and around the world towards them considering building a new temple, you know, the third temple, then you should really read the book. You should read the book even if you're not interested in the temple. Anyway, welcome, Pastor Carl. Are you there?
Pastor Dan, I am here, and thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for all your kind words, brother. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you, too. It's a wonder you can ever catch you, man, because it just seems like every time you turn around, you're out running around in a seminar someplace.
Yeah, I'm going to ride the wave while it's coming in, brother. You know?
I don't blame you. I'm just checking on you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. No, it won't last forever. Listen, I just want to walk through the doors that the Lord opens, and thank you. I'm very, very blessed. I do get to do a lot of conferences, preaching, teaching, and media, and really cool. And I do enjoy writing when I have the time and have the latest book, as you said, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah is going crazy, and the Lord is just blessing that. That book has now made it into the underground church in China. Zev Perret and his wife Lynn took it there last week. They almost got caught by the police in the underground church. I'll tell you that story later if you'd like, but it's been kind of crazy. But, yeah, and now the book is in Israel. And we're going to see what happens, brother.
Yeah, amen. There's another program that I go on guest on a couple times a month, and he has started broadcasting shortwave into China, and we just barely brushed about China. That might be a good program for you to go on. If you want, I can arrange it. We'll talk about it later. But
yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. I probably like to hear about that. But hey, I stumbled across YouTube, and it seems to me you had an end time dream vision you never told me about.
Well, I never shared that publicly until the Dallas conference, and as I share it, I don't know if you got to watch. Did you get to watch the whole video? I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, I didn't. I was going to, but I couldn't pay full attention to it. And I thought, well, I'd just like to hear it out of your words.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. I mean, if you've never heard it, it'll blow you away. And then you'll also understand why you've never heard it from me until tonight. But, would you like me to unpack it?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I did share it publicly, and it is on video now. It is on YouTube. And while I was there, there was a film producer, David Hevner. He produces Christian films, and he was there in the crowd. There's probably 1,000 total people there, vendors and audience, or you know, congregation, whatever, attendees at this prophecy conference in Dallas. And he snatched me up afterwards and said, man, I have got to get that on tape. He said that just blew everybody away. And so he did that. So there's a live rendition of it on the Internet. You can find that at my own website, carlgalps.com. Click on the PNN YouTube channel, and you'll see it there. And then there is that segment that he recorded. And so here's the deal, Pastor Dan. I'm just going to go ahead and give the account to your audience in very similar way that I gave it to these guys and that I shared it. The thing is, years ago, I was I thought I had had a dream, but the dream was so real and vivid, it really freaked me out. Not the message of the dream, but just the vividness of it, the reality of it.
Right.
And, yeah, so when I awoke from it, I'll tell your audience the whole dream here in a minute and everything, but when I awoke from it, I was a little bit aggravated because I wanted to go back to where I was.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've never had the dream since, never had it before, but here's what happened. Now, I want your audience to hear me. I do not base my ministry or theology upon dreams, although it is a biblical thing. That God can speak to his men and women in dreams, no doubt about it. It's in the scriptures. Plus, there are the declarations from Joel, and again in Acts chapter 2, quoting Joel about in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will have visions, your old men will dream dreams, and you know. And so what that means is that, of course, as it gets closer and closer to the return of the Lord, the Lord is going to open mouths, minds, eyes, ears, souls, spirits, and he is going to speak through his people and to his people and to the people that he is reaching however he wishes. Dreams, visions. I mean, you know, we already know that Muslims are coming to Christ because of Jesus' visions. Jews are coming to Christ because of Jesus' visions. Pure atheists are coming to Christ because of Jesus' visions. So, you know, I mean, the scripture said that those kinds of things would happen. So I just want your audience to know as I unpack this. Also, I want your audience to know that as I go through it, right about the time that you think that, okay, man, that's astounding. Well, hang on. It gets even more astounding. So here's what happened. So I went to sleep at night. My grandson was just a little tyke. He was staying at the house with us, and he was up in the bed with his grandmother, my wife, and I was down on the mattress on the floor. We'd been playing and staying up all night with him, and so that's I just fell asleep, and here's what happened. I dreamed that I was standing in the middle of a field, and it was nighttime, and I could hear what I call the sounds of life behind me. I don't know how else to describe it. It sounded like there was a major mega city behind me, but I didn't turn around. I don't know if I wasn't allowed to or what. I just felt frozen in space or time. I was looking forward, and in front of me was just beautiful fields, but it was night. But the sky was crystal clear and filled with stars and constellations, and I can just remember while I was looking up at the stars at night, admiring the handiwork of the Lord and just almost being in a spirit of worship. It was so beautiful that at the same time I could hear people behind me, horns honking, sirens in the distance, children's voices, crowds of people. Again, just the sounds of life. It sounded like I could hear a big interstate highway. It sounded like I might have been in, you know, with New York City behind me or something. That's what it sounded like. So anyway, I'm just looking forward. I'm looking up in the sky. And the thing that happened that was so astounding was that as I was looking at the stars, the sky just began to be filled with colors, kind of like an aurora borealis, if you will, except that the stars themselves started changing colors, and they were just beautiful, like a pastel. And I thought, this is weird. Why would stars do that? And I can remember thinking that. And in the meantime, all of these sounds of life were going on behind me. Well, as I watched, I could identify several constellations that I know. I used to have a telescope and used to enjoy kind of looking at the constellations and various heavenly objects and the moon, etc. And so I, in my dream, I was sitting there identifying them, looking at them, but I noticed that they began to move. The constellations began to move. The stars began to move, and they kind of shifted around slowly and kind of started forming maybe a little circular motion, very slowly. And I can remember thinking as I'm watching this, now this is really odd. What am I seeing here? It's like something is happening in the heavens. There seems to be some kind of a dimensional shift or something's going on. And then I can remember as I'm watching this happen that the sounds behind me became sounds of terror. It's as though the people behind me, this mega city filled with people behind me, they saw it too. And they began, I could hear the screaming and the shrieks and then the sounds of emergency sirens and alarms going off. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's happening? But I wasn't afraid. And I never did turn around to see what was behind me. I just kept looking up at the sky. The next thing that happened, Brother Dan, was that what appeared to be the stars just started streaking down towards the earth. Like the scripture says, the stars fell from the skies. And I just saw this happen. And I can, again, remember standing in the field, not being scared, but just in awe, wondering what is this? What is happening? Right. There's something very supernatural going on. The people are screaming. It's getting worse and worse. The next thing you know, these stars, I realized, could not have been actual, you know, stars, solar systems, galaxies, planets. It couldn't have been that because they were just streaking towards the earth. And the next thing I realized is that there was a presence standing beside me, an angelic presence of some sort. I didn't look into his face. I don't know if I wasn't allowed to, but I realized that I was in the presence of something divine, a divine being. I realized that, I mean, my heart was at peace. I could still hear the world behind me panicking. The next thing I know, I'm kind of being lifted up, perhaps in the arms of this divine being. I realized that these stars that fell were not stars, but they were angelic beings. I looked to my left. There was my wife. I felt like we were in some kind of, I don't know, a container, I'm going to call it. And you'll find out later on as I share this whole thing why, right, what was probably happening. But the next thing I know, I mean, is just, we were just whisked up, and it was like watching a Star Wars movie, and everything went into warp speed, and it was as though we just went through another dimension instantly. And I can remember again just feeling completely at peace, completely exhilarated. My wife looking at me with a knowing look of, we know what this is. This is the rapture. This is it. This is the day we've been praying for and waiting for. We didn't speak a word to each other, but I could tell that we were communicating that to each other. Again, I didn't turn to my right where this divine being was, but I could feel his presence. The next thing I know is I'm looking upon the most beautiful place you've ever seen, Pastor Dan. And it is absolutely, it's like, as far as you can see, beautiful homes, villages, flowers everywhere, forests, trees. The sky is pristine. The smells in the air, I can still smell them to this day from time to time. It was like potpourri. It was something beautiful. The colors, you've never seen colors like this. And so what happened was I can remember then speaking to the angelic being, again, not looking in his face. I felt like I just wasn't worthy. Maybe he was too holy. I just was prevented, I suppose. But I remember saying, is this heaven? Is this paradise? And I heard him say, this is your home. You are home. Well done. And then he said, get out. Enjoy. And I can remember looking at my wife. We were overcome with a peace and a joy. And then I woke up from the dream, Pastor Dan, and I was so angry. But hold on, this thing gets better. This whole account is unbelievable. It occurred over years. Now, so this was years back. My grandson was just a tyke. Now, by the way, he's 20 years old now. He'll be married in just a few months. I'm going to do the wedding. So this just tells you how this thing unfolded. Right. So what happened then, it was so overwhelming when I tried to go back to sleep. I can remember praying, say, Lord, take me back there. Take me back there. I didn't want to come back. I was mad. I mean, I felt like, you know, like the Apostle Paul said, he said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. All I know is I was caught up to paradise. I felt like that. It was not, I knew I was sleeping. I knew that I probably should call it a dream, but it was as though I was there, Pastor Dan. It's not like any kind of dream I've ever had. It's like in that state of what we would call sleep, I was taken into another dimension of time or something. But anyway, I'm not trying to make myself equal to the Apostle Paul. I'm just saying that's the closest I can find. Yeah, it's the closest I can find in the scriptures to define the experience that was happening to me. Now,
let me throw something in here real quick.
Yes.
Just for the record, I know that feeling. I've had a couple of, I don't know whether you call them open visions, dream visions, or whatever like that. And, you know, it's just, it's so realistic, but you know that, you do know that it's a dream, but yet it doesn't in any way, shape, or form seem like a dream. And as far as not looking into the angelic being's face or looking at them, I have the same kind of thing go on with me. But go on, this is about you. I want to hear more.
Okay, well, no, I appreciate it. That's amazing. And as this thing, this account that I'm telling now has now been posted on the internet, we are getting phone calls and emails. The videos are getting posted by the hundreds, maybe by the thousands by now. One video that's up has over 200,000 views already and thousands of comments. 98% of them are very positive, and almost a quarter of them are people saying, I've had the same dream, and they're coming from all over the world. It's
really
it's astounding, brother. So let me move this forward, because what I just shared, if there are any skeptical people listening now, they could say, well, you know, that was just a dream. Maybe he had some bad pizza. You know, there are others maybe thinking, well, he's probably made this up just to get some attention or something. He might even be lying. And look, I understand that, Pastor Dan. I understand if people have never had this experience and they're listening to me tell this, they're saying, well, how can we know if this is real? All right, listen to the rest of the story. So, brother, I'm a man of faith. I'm a pastor, a preacher, been preaching the word for 35, 40 years, been the pastor of one church for 33 years. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the word. I'm not ashamed of God's revelations to my heart and my soul. But, brother, this one overwhelmed me, and it was so much so that when I did wake up the next morning, it was still vivid. And I remember thinking, I'd love to tell my wife, but rather than say something stupid or embarrassing, I'm just going to keep this to myself for a few weeks and see if I still remember it. Because, you know, sometimes you'll have a vivid
image,
but then a few weeks later, you can't really remember it. I mean, you know. And so I thought, I'm just going to test, you know, myself. I'm going to put the fleece out and just see. So I waited. I waited 2 or 3 weeks, and it was still vividly real. And then I said, well, I'll wait a few months. And I literally just went on with life, but I couldn't get this dream out of my mind. I didn't think about it all the time, but at least once or twice a week, I would just kind of meditate on it and think, what happened to me? Where was I? Well, I went on. Now, brother, I'm ashamed to say this, but it was years later. I don't know how many years, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, life was getting busy. Church was growing. I was writing books. They were, you know, the books were putting me on TV. I was doing a lot of traveling. Then I started being asked to do prophecy conferences, and I've been doing all. So I was in the middle of all of that when years after I had had the initial experience of dreams.
Let's stop right there. We got a break in less than a minute, so tell them where they can find you and everything, and we'll go to break. We'll come back and get right back into it.
Okay, and I can promise your audience this gets way better than what they've heard so far.
Oh, I'm on the edge of my seat. I wish there wasn't a commercial, but, you know, it is what it is. You know.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want them to go anywhere because the best is yet to come, but they can find me at carlgallups.com, C-A-R-L-G-A-L-L-U-P-S, carlgallups.com. Everything about me they can find there, the church, the books, videos, articles, everything.
Well, that's Pastor Carl. Gotta love him, man. So he'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes, whatever it is. We'll be back.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Testing, keep us true. Jesus is our refuge. About 800 years before the birth of Messiah, the prophet Micah foretold his birth in Bethlehem. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Every year, thousands of Christian pilgrims make their way to Bethlehem to visit the city in which the Messiah was born. Although unaware, most of them are taken into a subterranean cave where the pagan sun god Tammuz was worshipped, and are told that this is the place where Jesus was born. Tammuz was the Akkadian sun god, also known as Adonis by the Greeks. In mythology, he was known to be the husband of Ishtar, from which we derive the name Easter. His birthday was known to be at the time of the winter solstice, or December 25th. Jerome, the Latin Bible translator, whose school was located adjacent to the cave, informs us of the worship of Tammuz on this spot. Quote, "Even my own Bethlehem, as it now is that most venerable spot in the whole world, of which the psalmist sings, 'The truth has sprung out of the earth,' was overshadowed by a grove of Tammuz, that is, of Adonis. And in the very cave where the infant Christ had uttered his earliest cry, lamentation was made for the paramour of Venus." End quote. Just one more example of the pagan influences upon modern-day Christianity. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Now, folks, we're going to get right back in with Pastor Carl, but I just want to tell you how you make your donation the easiest way. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can give all that information. You can also do it over the telephone. You can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. In fact, if you go to prophecyhour.com and look right there, it has something that says you can click right here for a donation, or the logo on the right-hand side. Really simple. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And if you don't want to donate to the homeless support, donate to radio. And now we're back with Pastor Carl. I'm waiting to hear from you.
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Thank you so much.
Yeah, if you'd have left, I'd be calling you up and just ringing your phone off the wall. I'd hate to have to come over there and no, I would not actually like to see you. But anyway, I want to hear the rest of this. But now I did hear a couple of, because I skipped into another part. And so, yeah, I really want to hear the rest of this.
Okay. So you cheated.
Yeah, I did.
But that's okay. Well, no, listen. Yeah, I want to finish telling this. Then I just want to give some perspective and context to your audience. I think it'll bless them by the time I'm finished with the whole thing. But so anyway, so I had this dream slash vision. It took me several years afterwards before I finally shared it with my wife. And here's what happened. My grandson now would have been, I don't know, maybe 10, 11 years old. I mean, it literally was years, and the years just flew by because I was just so busy with everything else. But yet I couldn't get this vision out of my mind. And so years later, I'm sitting down one afternoon having a cup of coffee with my wife, and we do this as much as we can. We'll take a 30 minutes to an hour every afternoon that we have the chance and just sit down, have a cup of coffee, cup of tea, and just be together. And so we talked about anything we want. And we were just talking, and I just felt led of the Lord. I told her, her name's Pam. I said, Pam, let me just, I said, I just need to tell you this. And I said, please don't think I'm crazy. And she kind of looked at me like, well, I already know you're crazy, you know. But see, my wife and I, we've been knowing each other since we were 10 or 11 years old. And we've been friends. We've been in school together. And we married right out of high school and just got on with life. So, you know, we're very close. But I told her, I said, I've got to tell you something. So I said, this happened years ago, but I can't get it out of my mind. And I've waited this long to tell you because it's just, it's beyond anything I can describe, and I just believe it was real. So I said, for what it's worth, let me tell you about this dream slash vision I had. So I told her the whole story. She sat there the whole time, didn't interrupt. She just looked at me. When I finished, she said, you have got to talk to your grandson. I mean, what a strange thing to say after I've just shared a dream with her like this. I mean, you know, my grandson, a young boy, you know, 10, 11 years old now. I said, why would I have to talk to my grandson? By the way, his name's Parker. She says, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to say anything about this to you. I'm not going to tell you the details. She said, but he's coming over this afternoon. He's coming to our house. When he gets here, get him to tell you about his rapture dream. And I said, oh my gosh, has he had something similar? And she said, I'm not going to say a word. She says, I'm not going to say a word to him. When he comes in and you guys are talking, she says, get him to tell you about his rapture dream. Just call it that. And then she says, I want you to listen to it. I said, okay. She said, I'm not going to say another word. I said, okay. So we went on, had coffee. We talked about other things. Well, my grandson came over later after it was appropriate, and he was in the house. We were sitting there talking. I said, Parker, I said, I need to ask you something. I said, come sit down for a minute. So we were in the living room, and his grandmother, he calls her Gigi. That's what he called her when he was about 1 or 2 years old, trying to say grandma or something. I don't know. But anyway, I said, Gigi, come in here. So she came in. He sat down. He thought he was in trouble, I guess. But I said, no, I just want to ask you something. I said, can you please tell me about your rapture dream that you had years ago when you were just a kid? He turned around and looked at his grandmother, Gigi. He asked her, he says, is it okay if I share this? She said, yeah, tell him. And he said, okay, Papa. He said, I've never shared this with anybody but Gigi. And he said, but it was so real. He said, I still remember it. And I said, well, tell me about it. And this is what he said. He said, well, Papa, the only way I can describe it is I was standing in a field and I was looking up at the sky. And he said, and I heard people behind me. He said, it sounded like a big city. And you can imagine my reaction. I mean, I'm just going, oh my gosh. And I'm listening to him. He describes my dream in detail, brother. I mean, he talks about the stars turned colors. They started moving. He heard the people screaming. Then the stars came screaming down out of the sky, falling towards the earth. The people were panicking. The whole world was coming apart. He said it became apparent to him that the stars were not stars. They were angelic beings. And then he said, and Papa, he said, I was lifted up by an angel. He said, I saw him. So see, he saw the angel. He said, I know it was an angel. He said, and I was in something like a chariot. He said, that's the only thing. And I looked at his grandmother. I said, did he use the word chariot when he was 3 or 4 years old when he had that dream? She said, yes. That's the very word he used. Now, the reason I asked her that was because at that young age, he wouldn't have known about raptures and chariots and, you know, and angels right. falling from the sky or stars falling from the sky that really became or were angels. He wouldn't have known that. He was too young. He didn't have that kind of theological connection or understanding to the scriptures. So she said, oh, yeah, let him finish. She said, this is what he told me when he was just a little tyke. And so he keeps talking, and he says, and I was lifted up, and you were there, and Gigi was there, and my mom and dad were there. And he says, and there were other chariots, and there were other angels. And he said, people I knew that were believers, he said, instantly we were just whisked away. He said, it was instant. I don't know how to describe it. And he said, I saw the most beautiful place. He said, Papa, it had to be heaven. He said, it would look like paradise. He said the colors were unbelievable. He said, you know, the happiness, the joy, the peace. And I'm listening to him talk about this, and I'm in shock, Pastor Dan. And so then he said, and then I woke up. And I said, well, Parker, that's what happened to me. And I told him my dream, and we compared notes. There were just a few details different, like he saw the angel. He said the word chariot. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't look at the angel, but basically the dream was exactly the same. Well, I asked him, I said, can we tell your mom and dad this? He said, well, yeah, especially since you've had the same dream. He said, you know, because he was kind of afraid to tell it. He told it to his grandmother. He didn't think anybody else would believe him. It was so real. So we told his mom and dad, and so the whole family kind of rejoiced, and we just kept it a family thing for, get this, for years. More years went by. Now, speed forward to the year 2014, just 5 years ago. I was asked to preach, to be a part of preaching a prophecy conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota. My son, Brandon, was with me. Parker is his son. Now, so by this time, Parker's a, you know, an older teenager. He wasn't even with us. I guess he would have been in high school at that point. But my son goes with me to a lot of these conferences, to help me with the book table and to, you know, to kind of talk to people and just kind of, you know, guard my integrity and all these different things. So he was with me in Minneapolis. And so I'm preaching this prophecy conference. It's in a church. It's a huge church. I guess it would seat well over 1,000 people. The place was packed. We had, the foyer was huge. We had tables set up for all the speakers out in the foyer. My son, as I was closing down my sermon, my message, my son got up and went out to the table and was getting everything ready, putting the books out so that people would, you know, could want them or would want them, and he was getting everything ready. Well, afterwards, I went on out to the book table to meet him, and I knew they were taking a break, and I knew that the foyer would be filled with people, everybody going to the different speaker tables. So we went out to the table. Now, this is in 2014, and I know that because I had the book, the first book, The Rabbi That Found Messiah, had come out in October of 2013, and I had actually told some of that story in the prophecy conference, and I know the prophecy conference was in March of a few months after the book came out. That's why I know it was 2014. So we're out at the table, and the people came out of the sanctuary, and as I said, there were over 1,000 people there, so, you know, very quickly my table was flooded with people. I don't know, just scores and scores of people gathered around just because they had just heard me preach. They wanted to talk to me. They wanted to buy books. They wanted my autograph. My son was helping me. I'm standing there. And in the crowd, about 4 or 5 rows deep behind, I saw this woman. She looked to be maybe, I don't know, 25, 26, 27, maybe 30 at the most. She looked Hispanic. I noticed that, and I noticed her because she was crying, and I could see that she was trying to get to me. She was trying to kind of politely push people out of the way so she could break in line and come up to the front. And I thought, well, bless her heart, somebody's going to get mad at her. And I wasn't about to tell her, come on up here, sugar, you know, because I didn't know her and I didn't know why she was trying to get up there. But she came. She got through the crowd, and then she kind of gave up. She looked at me like, you know, like, I need to see you. That was the kind of look she had. But then she just turned and walked back through the crowd. I saw her walk across the foyer, and I saw her go out the big double doors. And my heart was breaking because I thought, she needed to see me for something. But I had no idea what it was. I didn't know her from anybody. So I asked my son. Well, actually, my son asked me. He said, did you see that woman? I said, yes. I said, she went out the door. And he said, I know. So anyway, so we're talking to all these people. And about 25 minutes later, the crowd in front of my table had thinned way down. I saw that, you know, people were going in and out of the big double doors of the sanctuary. I saw this woman come back in, and I saw her make a beeline for my table. Now I'm thinking to myself, well, gosh, she's coming back. Well, I'm going to make sure I talk to her because I just, at that point, felt an urgency to do that. And so she starts coming forward. She finally makes her way down to the front of the table. She waits in line, and she comes up to me, and Brandon's over to my left at the table as we're looking out. He's getting a book ready to be signed for somebody that just bought one. And she steps up to me and she says, Pastor Carl, I've got to see you. She said, I don't know if you saw me earlier. I said, yes, I did. She says, well, my name's Veronica, and I need to ask you something. And now she's crying again. Now she's not heaving or anything. She's got tears running down her cheeks. She's visibly upset. She said, as you were inside preaching, the Lord told me that I needed to talk to you, that you could give me the answer I'm looking for. Well, now, Pastor Dan, I'm a pastor, and I have been for years. And I thought, okay, well, yeah, I'll be glad to minister to you if the Lord's speaking to you. You know, Veronica, just talk to me. Now, so she says, well, she said, the Lord told me you could tell me what my dream meant. And now, listen, brother, this is years after I'd had mine and right. years after I had talked to Parker. I wasn't even thinking about my dream. I was... First thing I said to her, I said, you mean God told you that I was supposed to interpret a dream for you? She said, yes. And I said, well, okay. I said, I'll listen to it. But I said, please, no, I don't claim to be a prophet or an interpreter of dreams. I've never really had anybody ask me to do that. I don't claim to have any special, you know, anointing for that. But I said, but if God told you to talk to me, then there must be something to it. I said, and I promise you that I'm not going to make something up. If you tell me your dream and I don't have a clue what it's about, I'll just tell you I don't know what it's about. She says, fair enough, but I've got to tell you. She says, now, the reason I left, she says, I went outside. My husband is waiting in the car, and we've got two small children. But he knows about my dream, and he knows what I told him, that God told me you could tell me what it means. And I went outside, and I was sitting in the car crying, and he made me come back in and told me that since God spoke to me, that I had to talk to you. And I said, wow, okay, this is getting serious. I said, well, what was your dream, Veronica? Now, Brandon is standing to my left. He's, you know, helping somebody purchase a book with a credit card. And this is what she said. Well, the dream started like this. She said, I was standing in a field, and it was night. And she said, it was like there was a big city of people behind me. And I kept hearing everybody talking and children, and I could hear cars. And Brandon grabbed my sleeve, Pastor Dan. He said, are you listening to this, Dad? I said, yeah. And she looked. She said, what's wrong? I said, nothing, Veronica. Keep speaking. And she says, well, I was looking up at the stars. And she said, all of a sudden, the sky filled with all of these colors, and the stars began to move. And Brandon just said, oh, my gosh. And Veronica said, what's wrong? And I said, nothing, Veronica. Keep telling me your dream. I said, now I know why God sent you to me. She said, oh, my gosh, you know what it means? I said, so far I do. Keep telling me your dream. She said, well, I all I can tell you is it was like the stars just began to fall from the sky. There was two or three or four at first, and then like a meteor shower. But then she said all of them just kind of came streaking down towards the earth. She says, I can remember being horrified. She says, the people behind me were screaming with terror. She said, I fell into the ground in the field, and I knew that something was happening, and I knew it was supernatural, but she says, I didn't know what it was, and I was terrified. And she said, then I woke up. And she said, I can't get it out of my mind. She said, this happened months ago, and I finally told my husband about it. It's so real. I don't know what it means. Do you know? And I said, Veronica, I've had the very same dream, and my grandson, my son's son, my son that's standing here, it's his son, when he was a little boy, had the same dream, and 4 or 5 years ago, he finally told me, and it was the same dream. And I said, I know what your dream is. She said, oh, my gosh, God did speak to me then. I said, apparently so, because I do know what your dream was. And Brandon said to her something along the lines of, he's not lying to you, Veronica. He said, I was there when my grandson and my dad told me what happened to them. And so I said, Veronica, all I can tell you is you were witnessing more than likely the rapture event before the return of the Lord. And she started crying some more. She said, I knew it. I knew it. I knew that's what it was. And I said, the stars were not stars. They were angelic beings. And they were whisking God's people away. And I said, my little grandson, as a little tyke, he said he was lifted up and taken to paradise and saw it. I was lifted up and taken to paradise. I saw it. I smelled it. I saw the colors. I saw the beauty of it. And I said, all I can tell you is, and she stopped me and she said, I know why my dream ended like that. She says, because I have been so far from the Lord. And she said, She said, I didn't even know if I was saved or not, but some months ago, she said, I just really made a commitment, recommitment, or asked the Lord to make sure that I was right with him, whatever you want to call it. And she said, but I've just not known what to do since then. And she said, God told me that I needed to be sharing the gospel, and I've been kind of disobedient to it. And she said, I know what that was. It was to show me how close it is, how soon it is. And she said, thank you for sharing this. And she said, this has encouraged me to do what God told me to do. So we hugged, we prayed with her, but the story's still not over. She was getting ready to leave, and I asked her, I said, Veronica, and I speak conversational Spanish, so I started speaking to her in Spanish, and everything I said from then on was in Spanish. And I said, so you speak Spanish, you're obviously Hispanic. I said, and I said, so where do you come from? And she said, I'm from Peru. Well, brother, that floored me, because my church, we have a mission in Peru. It's a mission school for poor children. It's in Comas, Lima, Peru. It's a big district outside of Lima, and it's very, very poor. It's up in the mountain district, and just hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people living in third world or worse conditions. It's gotten a little better over the years, but we started this 17 years ago, this school, and giving these little kids education. Now a lot of them have grown up and they've gotten scholarships, they've gone to college, and our church kind of helps finance this thing. We send teams down, we minister, we do medical missions, I do preaching and crusades, we hang out with the teachers and the kids, and we've actually sent missionaries down there over the years. So she says, I'm from Peru. And I said, that's astounding. I said, because we have a mission school down there in Peru. And I said, where in Peru are you from? She said, well, you probably have never heard of it. I said, where? She says, I'm from Comas. I said, you've got to be kidding. I said, that's where our school is. As she says, what's the name of it? I said, it's the Jack Goldfarb Christian School, named after an associate pastor of mine that's now gone to be with the Lord. He's was born and raised in Peru. She looked at me. She said, I just live a few blocks from there. She said, I know exactly where it is. And she said, I know people that work there and go to the church there. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is getting stranger and stranger the more we talk. So here's this young lady from Comas, Peru, where I've been doing missions all these years. She's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We've never met. And she's telling me God spoke to her and said I could give her the answer to her dream. She begins with, I was standing in a field at night. And then she describes my dream. She describes my grandson's dream. My son is standing right there witnessing it. And, brother, I'm just telling you, that's when. And listen, it's still been 5 years before I finally shared it with the world. Now, I did share it with my church on a Sunday night in one of our big sanctuary teaching sessions. I've never shared it even on a Sunday morning. Even to this day, I haven't. But I'm getting ready to now that it's all out there in front of the world. But the thing is, it's almost like when God sent Veronica. See, here's the thing, Pastor Dan. I want your audience to know. Of course I didn't make this up. Of course I'm not lying. This thing happened over years. I was afraid, I guess is the word to use, to tell it, even to my wife. I didn't think she would believe me. And then when my grandson told his account, then I had more courage to tell it to the whole family, but I still didn't share it with the public because it was a family thing. And I thought, well, people still could think I made this up or that I'm exaggerating. And then when this happened with Veronica, it's like the Lord hit me upside the head and said, would you please share this? And now I had another witness, a completely outside witness, Veronica. Not only that, but Brandon was standing right there and heard it. And so I asked her, may I use your name and may I tell this story? And she said, oh, yes, I don't mind. She said, you can use my name. So I'm using it. And so that's it, brother. And the bottom line is, I want your audience to know, what, you know, they're probably saying, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? Well, I don't build theology around my dreams. I'm not setting times and dates. I'm not claiming I know when the rapture is. I'm not saying it's pre-trib or mid-trib or post-trib. All I'm saying is I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I have access to television and radio and books and the world. And it's like God is using me to speak this and to let people know that it's close. And so I that's all I'm doing. I'm just telling people. I don't care if people believe me or not now. I know what I know. I know what happened to me. I know what happened with my grandson. I know what happened with Veronica. My son witnessed it. My wife, Parker's grandmother, witnessed the telling of his first dream. So I know that all of this is real. What people want to believe about it is up to them, but I believe the Lord is wanting me to speak this so that people will know it's getting close, whether it's in our lifetime or just very shortly after. And, brother, all over the world, people feel like something's getting ready to snap. The whole world knows it. Everybody knows, even unbelievers. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And so I'm just telling people, just get right with the Lord. Make sure you're right with the Lord. The time is drawing near. The time is getting closer. That's the message. And now it's posted on the Internet. And, brother, just dozens and dozens and dozens of comments, phone calls, emails we're getting from people all over the world that watch this or listen to this like they're doing to your show, and they're telling me either I had this exact same dream, we've literally had people tell us they had the exact same dream, or they said it was similar, or they said it wasn't even similar, but yet I had a rapture dream that I can't get out of my head. So I'm telling you, brother, something's happening around the world, and amen. I think that it's going to be soon.
Okay, amen. Okay, we've got a couple of minutes left, and I got a couple of things I want to say about this. Shortly, you'll be back, and we'll talk about your book and some other things. But
oh, yeah.
This,
yeah.
First, I want to say this to you, Carl. I believe in spiritual gifts, and not to brag or anything, but, you know, when you work closely with people that have need of nothing, or, you know, have nothing but have need of many things, you see many miracles, and
oh, yeah.
So
okay.
Father gives you the gifts that you need in order to discern with the people and to help the people. Well, again, I go back to the discernment thing. Carl, I absolutely know from the bottom of my heart that there's a special anointing on your life. Not only I know all of your books are great, but especially with this message over Rabbi Kaduri and what's surrounding about that. But this dream that you've just related, because of your other credibility, this dream was given to you over a period of time to establish that with the people, to renew their hearts. Like you say, it wasn't a dream that pointed out pre-trib, post-trib, any of those things. It was just a dream letting us know that it's close, that we are in the end times, and that there is that blessed hope of that divine redemption that he'll pull us out of here at his timing. And that is divine, brother. That is divine. And you do have that calling on you. And that's why I'm always so blessed to have you on this program. I'm overwhelmed by it. We only got about 30 seconds left, though, so please tell the folks goodbye, and we'll just have to talk again.
Thank you, Pastor Dan, and to your wonderful audience, may the Lord bless you and keep you always. May the Lord give you peace, and you can check me out at carlgallops.com, and it's an honor to be an ambassador of the kingdom of Jesus Christ with all of you.
Amen. You be blessed, Carl. We'll talk again. Bye-bye.
You as well, brother. Thank you.
Well, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallops, and you could knock me over with a feather right now. Folks, if you have some dreams and visions that you want to share that are similar or might be like Carl's or whatever, we do that. So just get a hold of me. There's a contact way to message or a place to get a hold of me on the Internet, on prophecyhour.com. Go over there and check it out. I'd love to talk to you about your dreams and visions. It would be a blessing. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really need your help coming out of Passover and everything, but please pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church and radio. But remember, folks, there is a big thing you need to remember, that there is only one God, and he is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and that you would give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.